onwards. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for all of your wonderful association and for accepting our request and agreeing and coming on this call. So happy to see you, Prabhu. Now you can please take over. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadhamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swameneti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadhi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Gurave Gaura Chandraya, Radhikaya Tadaliye, Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya, Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha, Anandalilamaya Vigrahaya, Hemava Divya Chavisundaraya, Tasmai Maha Prema Rasapradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. Before I begin, I would want to express my obeisances at the lotus feet of Om Vishnupad Nityalila Pravishta Rupanuga Acharya Varya Shri Shrima Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada and all the Rupanuga Gaudiya Guru Varga and all the wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Secondly, I want to express my gratitude to Kirtida Sundari Mataji and Priti Vilasini Mataji for very kindly having me at the service of all the devotees here at Bhakti Sangha. And finally, I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to all the assembled devotees For the devotees who have joined seeing the flyer, just a disclaimer that the flyer had a lot of nice preparations in the form of rice and dal and etc. So I just wanted to make this point out that Bhakti Sangha is not organizing a feast today, but the topic that we are going to discuss is centered around the theme of prasadam. So for the devotees who have joined seeing the flyer, I'm very sorry to disappoint you that it's not going to be a feast. But I really want to prostrate myself and express my gratitude and take your blessings and best wishes so that I may speak some favorable words in the glorification of today's topic. Vansha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So let me quickly share my screen. Can someone confirm, is the screen visible?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So this morning we are reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila, chapter 16, text 88 to text 93. So we will read all the verses at one go and then we can begin our discussion. Text 88. হেন কালে গোপাল বল্লভ ভোগ লগাইলা, শঙ্খ ঘণ্টা আদি সহ আরতি বাজিলা। দ্য অফরিং অফ ফুড নোন অ্যাজ গোপাল বল্লভ ভোগ ওয়াজ দেন গিভেন টু লর্ড জগন্নাথ, অ্যান্ড আরতি ওয়াজ পারফর্মড উইথ দ্য সাউন্ড অফ কঞ্চ অ্যান্ড রিঙিং অফ দ্য বেল। ভোগ সরিলে জগন্নাথের সেবক গণ, প্রসাদ লাইয়া প্রভু থাই কৈল আগমন। When the aarti finished, the prasadam was taken out and the servants of Lord Jagannath came to offer some to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mala paraiya prasada dila prabhu rahaite, aswada dure rahu yara gandhe mana mate. The servants of Lord Jagannath first garlanded Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then offered him Lord Jagannath's prasadam. The prasadam was so nice that its aroma alone, to say nothing of its taste, would drive the mind mad. Bahumulya prasadase vastu sarvottama, tara alpa khaoyate sevaka karila yatana. The prasadam was made of very valuable ingredients. Therefore, the servant wanted to feed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a portion of it. তার অল্প লইয়া প্রভু জিহ্বাতে যদি দিল, আর সব গোবিন্দের আঁচলে বাঁধিল। শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু টেস্টেড অ পোর্শন অফ দ্য প্রসাদম, গোবিন্দ টুক দ্য রেস্ট অ্যান্ড বাউন্ড ইট ইন দি এন্ড অফ হিস র্যাপর। কোটি অমৃত স্বাদ পাইয়া প্রভুর চমৎকার, সর্বাঙ্গে পুলক নেত্রে বহে অশ্রুধার। Translation, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the prasadam tasted millions upon millions of times better than nectar, and thus he was fully satisfied. The hair all over his body stood on end, and incessant tears flowed from his eyes. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada was once traveling from Australia, and Harikesh Maharaj was his servant during that time. So Prabhupada was traveling from Australia and he was going to Hawaii. And when he was in Australia, Prabhupada wrote a letter to Rameshwar Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's disciples. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Rameshwar Prabhu saying, "Why isn't anyone printing my books?" In fact, it was meant for Rameshwar Prabhu. He said, "Why aren't you printing any books? I have labored so much. I have toiled so much. Day in and day out, I have had sleepless nights and I've written so many books. Why aren't these books being published?" And Prabhupada, he went to Australia. And then when he came to Hawaii, from the airport of Hawaii, Harikesh Maharaj called Rameshwar Prabhu. And he said, "You better be prepared with an answer, because Prabhupada is mad. He is furious. He is fuming as to why his books aren't being published." So if the mics could be muted. Thank you. So when Prabhupada reached Hawaii, Harikesh Maharaj, who was the servant, he called Rameshwar Prabhu and said, "You better be prepared with an answer, because Prabhupada is in a raudra form. He's very angry and he's asking, why aren't my books being published?" And we can imagine what was going through Rameshwar Prabhu's mind, because if our spiritual master is angry and furious at us, we can only imagine what he would be going through at that spur of the moment. And this didn't end. Prabhupada, in fact, had organized a meeting in the New Dwaraka Temple, Los Angeles. And he had invited all the sannyasis. He had invited all the GBC. He had invited practically all his senior disciples to come to Los Angeles Temple only to discuss this point, that why aren't his books being published? So you can imagine how difficult it would have been for Rameshwar Prabhu. So many people from all sides practically cornering him. So when Prabhupada came to Los Angeles Temple, Prabhupada gave the famous arrival address. And in the arrival address, Prabhupada said that my spiritual master, he would always say that whenever you get money, you print books. Whenever you get money, you print books. Prioritize printing of the books as the first business. Books are the basis. If there are books, then people would get convinced on this path of Krishna consciousness. Books are meant to philosophically convince us to take up this process of chanting and dancing in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission. So in that lecture, Prabhupada was saying, where are the 17 books? Where are the 17 books? Where is the 17 books? I have toiled and labored so hard, but why isn't anyone publishing? So precisely Prabhupada was pointing to these 17 books that were unpublished. And Rameshwar Prabhu says that every time Prabhupada was asking this question, it was like a thunderbolt to my heart. It was as if Prabhupada was pounding on my heart. So the next day, when Prabhupada went for the morning walk to the Venice Beach, the famous Venice Beach morning walks where the discussion of life comes from life took place, where Sripad Bhaktiswarup Damodar Maharaj was the central figure, and Prabhupada would go out and discuss about life comes from life with Sripad Bhaktiswarup Damodar Maharaj. At that time, one morning, Rameshwar Prabhu also decided to go on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. And when this discussion was going on, suddenly Prabhupada put his cane down to the ground and he looked at Rameshwar Prabhu and said, where are the 17 books? So only previous day in the arrival address, Prabhupada had asked this question. And in less than 24 hours, Prabhupada again looked at Rameshwar Prabhu and said, where are these 17 books? Why aren't you publishing them? So by this time, Rameshwar Prabhu had thought of an answer. So when Prabhupada posed this question, he said, Prabhupada, we have come up with a plan. And the plan is we can publish one book in about 2 months. In about 2 months, we can publish one book. That is possible, Prabhupada. And then he said, Prabhupada, if we can double our speed, then it is also possible that in 1 month we can publish one book. So he thought that Prabhupada would be very happy. He thought Prabhupada would say, wow, it is very nice, very inspiring. And Prabhupada was walking. And then all of a sudden, Prabhupada again stopped. And he said, one book a month, which means 17 books will take 17 months. Prabhupada said, I don't have so much time. Prabhupada said, I want all the 17 books to be published in 2 months. In 60 days, in 2 months, I want all the 17 books to be published. And Rameshwar Prabhu spontaneously said, Prabhupada, that is impossible. That is just not possible. And Prabhupada looked to him and said, impossible? Impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. I am not asking you. I am instructing you. I want all the 17 books out in 2 months. And Rameshwar Prabhu, in his memories, he says, when Prabhupada gave that instruction, it was not just an instruction. Prabhupada infused Shakti. He infused Bhakti Shakti into the heart of all his disciples who were present that time to empower them to establish and to fulfill this task of Prabhupada of publishing 17 books in 2 months. And dear devotees, for the next 2 months, Rameshwar Prabhu and his team, they practically did not even sleep. They were sleeping in the printing press with their head to the desk. And they would just sleep for a few hours, but the remaining time, they would just help in publishing these books. And in fact, Prabhupada was present at Los Angeles because he wanted to see whether this publishing is going on in the right spirit. Now the question arises, why are we discussing this? Dear devotees, those 17 books were the 17 books of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The 17 books that Prabhupada prioritized so much, and he was pounding literally on the head of Rameshwar Prabhu so that it can be published. These 17 books were none other than Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada, he was begging and pleading. In the arrival address, we can find Prabhupada says that I'm begging you, please help me publish this English version of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because this English edition was never given in the past. It was always the Bengali edition, but it is Srila Prabhupada for the first time not just gave the English edition of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, but also illuminated the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with his transcendental purports. And this Antilila is one of those sections of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita where Gauranga Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here is in the mood of Radha Bhav, tasting the mellows, tasting the mood of Srimati Radharani. And we find in this section, as we discussed, the scene that is outlined is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Jagannath Puri. And the Pujari has just offered bhoga to Jagannath Dev. And when the bhoga has come out as prasad, he has gone personally to give it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is tasting this bhoga, there is transcendental emotions, transcendental ecstasies, hair standing on end, and tears flowing from the eyes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very difficult to understand, especially this section of Antilila. That is why we find Kaviraj Goswami, he says, Chaitanya Chandrera Lila Aghada Gambhir Praveshe Karite Nare Sparshara Hitir. He says, Chaitanya Chandrera Lila Aghada Gambhir. The pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu are very deep. It is such an ocean that it is unimaginably deep. And so Kaviraj Goswami, who is the celebrated author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, Praveshya Karite Nari. He says, I myself, I don't have the eligibility to enter into this ocean. Now, of course, Chaitanya Kaviraj Goswami is, out of his humility, he's saying that he doesn't have eligibility. But it is actually an instruction, a subtle way of telling all of us that this Antilila is far beyond material understanding. One may read through the pages, but till the time one doesn't have kripa, till the time one doesn't have mercy, as Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj would say, till the time one is not blessed with sadhu guru kripa, the mercy of a pure Vaishnava, till that time one can not really understand the deep pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, especially in this Antilila section where Mahaprabhu is in Jagannath Puri with his confidential servants. So Kaviraj Goswami says, Praveshya Karite Nare, I don't have the eligibility to enter into these pastimes. Sparsha Rahitir. He's saying, I'm only touching the shore of this ocean. So the whole of Chaitanya Charitamrita is nothing but a drop from this whole ocean. So we can imagine if the drop is so deep, how deep the actual ocean would be. Kaviraj Goswami says, this is just a drop from this unimaginably deep ocean of Gaura Prem. So in this section, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is tasting the remnants that has touched the lips of Krishna. And that is why we find this chapter, chapter 16, is entitled Tasting the Nectar Emanating from Krishna's Lips. So we find when Srimati Radharani, when our Radharani was very small, you see in Vrindavan, small girls are called as Lali. So when Lali was very small, she was playing around with her friends. And at that time, a muni, a rishi walked by. And the moment the other friends of Radharani, when they saw this rishi, immediately they ran to their homes. Why? Because this rishi was none other than Durvasa Muni. He was Durvasa Rishi. And we know Durvasa Rishi is known for his anger. So all the sakhis, all the friends of Srimati Radharani, they ran to their home. But Radharani was sitting and she was playing with the mud. So Durvasa Muni came and he said, Lali, I am feeling very hungry. Can you give me some sweet rice? Will you be kind enough to prepare some sweet rice for me? And Radharani, immediately she agreed. So she went inside to Kirtida Maya. And she said, Maya, our Durvasa Rishi is outside. So can you give me some ingredients to make sweet rice so that I can prepare sweet rice and give it to Durvasa Rishi? So immediately Kirtida Maya, she gave all the ingredients that is required. And our Lali, Srimati Radharani, she prepared the sweet rice and gave it with her small palms. She came and she gave it to Durvasa Rishi. And when Durvasa Rishi had the sweet rice, Durvasa Rishi felt a burst of transcendental letter in his heart. And he thought to himself, I have had at so many houses, because we find sadhus, they go from house to house. Bhavati Bhiksham, they beg for food grains. But this is the first time he ate something that he had never eaten in the past. This is the first time he felt something that he had not experienced in the past. And he immediately understood that this has to be the transcendental preparation of Srimati Radharani. It is because of Radharani's power potency that this sweet rice, which is already sweet, now it has become a million times more sweeter, a billion times more sweeter, a zillion times, a quadrillion times more sweeter in taste. And Durvasa Rishi, he blessed Lali and he said, oh Lali, I bless you that anyone who eats from your hand, they will not fall ill. They will always be famous. They will always be beautiful and they will not be affected by any diseases. COVID-19 will not affect them if you eat from the hands of Srimati Radharani. So that was the benediction that Durvasa Rishi gave our Srimati Radharani Lali. So naturally, this news spread. We find that even in devotee circles, when it is glorification, the good deeds always spread very fast. But if it is something wrong, then devotees always make sure that those wrong deeds are not spread across. So naturally, Durvasa Rishi had blessed our Srimati Radharani with this boon. And this news reached Nandagaon. It reached Maya Yashoda. And when Maya Yashoda heard this, she immediately called Lali. And she said, Lali, you have been blessed by Durvasa Rishi. Can you come and cook for Krishna? Because you have this blessing that anyone who eats from your hands, they will not fall ill. So it is my humble desire. If you can cook for my Krishna, then our Krishna can be chubby. He can be fit. He can be healthy. He can play with his friends. He can go for gocharan. He can herd his cows and no disease will ever affect him. And because the request came from Yashoda Maya, for Radharani, Yashoda Maya and Kirtida Maya are one and the same. So because the request came from Yashoda Maya, our Lali, Srimati Radharani, she agreed. And she would go and cook for Krishna every day. So on the same lines, Shripad Raghunath Das Goswami, who is our Prayojan Acharya, who cried and wept on the banks of Radhakund for 45 years. Shripad Raghunath Das Goswami for 45 years was weeping and crying on the banks of Radhakund. He Radhe Braja Devi Ke Chalalite, He Nanda Suno Kutha. The Shat Goswamis would cry and weep. Where is Srimati Radharani? Where is Krishna? Where are the servants of Srimati Radharani? And Raghunath Das Goswami was no exception. So he would cry this way. And in one of his works, Raghunath Das Goswami, very beautifully, he illuminates our pastime. He says that once Srimati Radharani had prepared nice sweets. She had prepared rasgullas. She had prepared rasmalais. She had prepared gulab jamun. The devotees whose videos are on, I can always already see that there is, devotees are already smiling hearing. So Radharani made beautiful preparations in the form of gulab jamun and rasmalais and rasgullas. And now her desire was she wanted to give this to Krishna. But due to some reason, that day Radharani was not able to go. So Radharani was searching as to which servant of hers can go and give this preparation to Sri Krishna. So at that time, she turned around and Tulasi Manjari or Rati Manjari was present. Who is Rati Manjari? Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami in the spiritual world has two names, Tulasi Manjari and Rati Manjari. Same personality, but addressed by two names in different readings. So she looked around and Rati Manjari was present. So she said, "Oh Rati, I have made this sweetmeats, beautiful sweets, and I want you to go and give it to Krishna. Will you be kind enough to go and give it to Nandagaon, to the house of Sri Krishna? Will you give this to Yashoda Maya?" Because at this point, Srimati Radharani and Tulasi Manjari or Rati Manjari were at Yavat. So from Yavat, Radharani was asking Rati Manjari to go all the way to Nandagaon. And when Rati Manjari heard this, she immediately became so happy and so excited. She said, "Srimati Radharani, I have always been yearning and longing for this service. So your instruction, your order is on my head. Whatever you say, Srimati Radharani, I am your servant." Just like we say, Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamale or Das, Das, Das Anudas, because Tulasi Manjari and Srimati Radharani, for them it is Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamaleyor Dasi 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 Anudasi. Sripada Indraprabhu would say, for the Manjaris it is Dasi 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 Anudasi. So Tulasi Manjari, she agreed and she said, "Radharani, definitely, you please give me all the preparations for you. I will go all the way and give it to Sri Krishna." So Srimati Radharani, she put all the sweetmeats in a golden pot and covered the pot with a white cloth, and she gave it to Tulasi Manjari. Now the question arises, why not Rupa Manjari? Because Rupa Manjari is Rupa Goswami, and we know Rupa Goswami or Rupa Manjari is the fountain head of all the Manjaris. So why did Radharani give it to Tulasi Manjari and not to Rupa Manjari? Well, that is because Srila Raghunath Das Goswami himself, he says that at that time Rupa Manjari was not present. In that assembly, Rupa Manjari was not present. So naturally, if there is anyone after Rupa Manjari, it is Tulasi Manjari, who is Raghunath Das Goswami. So this instruction of taking all the sweets from Yavat to Nandagaon was given to Tulasi Manjari. And Tulasi Manjari took five or six sakhis, friends with her, and she decided to walk all the way to Nandagaon. And at this time, Yashoda Maya, she was waiting, because she knew that she was expecting that Radharani would come with the sweets. But it had already been time and she was waiting. Why isn't anyone coming? Like we find many times when the child has told his mother that, "Oh mother, I'll be home at 4 o'clock. And if it's 4:10 or 4:15, the parents, especially the mother, she becomes so panicked. She kind of walks in and out of the house, peeping outside, whether my child has come. It is already 4:15. So every moment is like a millennium. Yugaitam nimeshena. For mothers, every second is like a millennium. So likewise, Yashoda Maya was walking in and out of Nanda Bhavan, waiting. Why isn't Radharani coming? It's already been so long. Every day at this time, she's already here, but she has not come till now. So she was waiting. And at that time, Tulasi Manjari, with the pot on her head, with all the sweets covered with a white cloth, she comes with all the sakhis. And Yashoda Maya becomes so happy that now these sweets can be offered to her Krishna. Now her Lala can have the sweets from her Lali, because Lali had prepared the sweets. So Tulasi Manjari came and she placed the pot of sweets at the feet of Maya Yashoda. And naturally, Tulasi Manjari bowed down to give her dandavat pranams, to give her obeisances. But when she bowed down to give her obeisances, Yashoda Maya caught hold of the arms of Tulasi Manjari and embraced her tightly. Because for Yashoda Maya, there is no difference between Radharani and Tulasi Manjari. So she saw Tulasi Manjari also as her daughter. So she embraced Tulasi Manjari very tightly. And she said, "Tulasi, You don't have to give me obeisances. For me, you, Radharani, and Krishna all are one and the same. So please do not give me obeisances. You are like my daughter-in-law. Just like Radharani is like my daughter-in-law. Similarly, O Tulasi, you're also like my daughter-in-law. So Yashoda Maya tightly embraced Tulasi Manjari. And she took the offerings that Tulasi had brought inside so that she could give it to Krishna. But at that time, our Lala, our Krishna was not present. Krishna was coming back to his Nanda Bhavan after herding his cows. So Krishna and Balram were coming with all the cows, and all the cows were making sound. Moo, moo. All the cows were making sound. And so much so that we can imagine if thousands and millions of cows are walking, the dust of Brajadham, Brajadhuli, was completely in the air. And Krishna was completely decorated with the particles of dust of Brajadham. So when Krishna was coming this way, Tulasi Manjari was seeing from a distance, because she could see the cows, because cows were making the sound, cows were moving, but she couldn't see Krishna and Balaram. Why? Because Krishna and Balaram were completely covered with the sand. And naturally, as the Brajraj settled down, Tulasi Manjari and Yashoda Maya could see the beautiful smiling face of Krishna. And Krishna was charismatically walking with his brother Balaram, holding all the cows and the calves. And when Krishna entered Nanda Bhavan, he took his bath. And after taking his bath, he came and he sat on the lap of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna sat on the left lap of Nanda Maharaj, while Balaram sat on the right lap of Nanda Maharaj. Shripad Raghunath Das Goswami is so deep in his meditation that he is actually giving us a graphic representation. We can actually imagine that Krishna has come after herding his cows. Krishna has now taken his bath. Krishna is now sitting on the left lap of Nanda Maharaj, and Balaram is sitting on the right lap of Nanda Maharaj. And along with Nanda Maharaj, his brothers Upananda Maharaj and Sunanda Maharaj are also present. And likewise, Yashoda Maya and Rohini and Dhanishta Gopi are also present. So Nanda Maharaj is taking the sweet and giving the sweet to Balaram, because Balaram is older. He's Dau. Dauji ka bhaiya Krishna kanaiya. So he's first giving it to Dauji. And when he's giving to Balaram, naturally Krishna is opening his mouth, because Krishna also wants. We see small kids, when someone is given something, naturally the small child also opens his mouth to show that even I want the same thing. So when Nanda Maharaj was giving the sweet to Balaram, Krishna would open his mouth wide. And when Nanda Maharaj would give it to Krishna, Balaram would open his mouth wide, saying, Baba, I want that sweet. So in this way, there would be a tug of war of love between Krishna and Balaram as to who would have those sweets. And Nanda Maharaj would give one sweet, one bite to Balaram and one bite to Krishna. One bite to Balaram, one bite to Krishna. And when Krishna had this prasadam, it was just like Durvasa Muni experienced a transcendental burst of nectar in his heart. Similarly, Sri Krishna experienced a transcendental burst of nectar in his heart, because he knew that this was prepared by Srimati Radharani. Our most worshipable Srila Prabhupada had a very unique style of indicating whether the prasadam is prepared well or whether the prasadam is not prepared well. And Yamuna Mataji, who was one of the very dearest cooks of Srila Prabhupada, she says that once Srila Prabhupada was sitting with Pishima, and Yamuna Mataji was given the service of preparing prasadam. So she prepared and she took it into Prabhupada's room. And after some time, about 30 minutes later, after Pishima and Srila Prabhupada had had the prasad, Yamuna Mataji was taking the plates and she was going outside. And she asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, how was the prasad? Was everything okay? And Yamuna Mataji says that Just like if this question is asked to us, we would say, yes, Prabhu, or yes, Mataji, the prasadam was very tasty. But Prabhupada, because he was so unique, even his way of indicating things, way of expressing things were very different. Yamuna Mataji says that Prabhupada had a standard way of indicating how the prasad was. If the prasad was very okayish, very below average, if it was not cooked properly, then Prabhupada would point to his tummy, saying that it is okay, very okay. If the prasad was very good, Prabhupada would do this way, which means good. And if the prasad was excellent, Prabhupada would say, like, over the head. So Yamuna Mataji would say that Prabhupada had this style. If it was like okayish, he would point to his tummy. It was good, this way. If it was excellent, he would do it this way. So when Yamuna Mataji asked this question, Prabhupada did this way. And Yamuna Mataji says, I was so happy to see my spiritual master love what I had prepared. So likewise here, Krishna also loved the preparation that Srimati Radharani had prepared for him. But now Krishna not only facilitates Sakhiras, he facilitates Vatsalyaras, but he also facilitates Madhuryaras. Krishna is the Lord of all the rasas. So when Krishna was being given these sweets, at that time Madhumangal was also present. Now we know Madhumangal is Krishna's dear friend, who is actually a foodie, who just loves to eat, who has a very big tummy and who loves to eat all the time. So the preparation that Radharani had made was Manohar Laddu. And this Manohar Laddu is the favorite of Madhumangal. So when it came to other sweets, Madhumangal did not say anything. But when it came to Manohar Laddu, Madhumangal said, "Oh, Maya Yashoda, I have to tell you something." And Maya Yashoda said, "What is it, Madhumangal?" Madhumangal said, "Actually, today when we went for herding the cows, when we went for Gocharan, Krishna personally told me that Krishna has an upset stomach. Krishna is not doing well. He has not told you, but actually Krishna has an upset stomach. So now if you give him this Manohar Laddus, I fear, Maya Yashoda, just as a friend I'm telling, I fear that he may spoil his stomach. So what you can do is you can give this Manohar Laddus to me so that your Lala's stomach is not upset." And Maya Yashoda, when she hears, she starts laughing. She says, yeah, I know how much spoiled the stomach of Krishna is, because everyone knows that Manohar Laddus is the personal favorite of Madhumangal. So when Madhumangal says this way, everyone just bursts into laughter. So Sakhiras is facilitated. At the same time, Vatsalya is also maintained because Rohini and Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are also present. But when everyone got up, after Krishna had his prasad, after everyone got up, Krishna very secretly took some of his remnants and gave it to Dhanishta Gopi, who was also present in that assembly. Krishna very secretly gave it to Dhanishta Gopi. And just through his eyes, through his glance, he gave this indication that please give it to Srimati Radharani. So Dhanishta Gopi very secretly took that remnants and tied those remnants in her cloth. And this is exactly what we find here, dear devotees. Govinda is taking those remnants and tying it in his cloth. So Dhanishta Gopi takes those remnants, ties it in her cloth, and goes outside and gives it to Tulsi Manjari, who is still waiting. It's been 2.5 hours. Tulsi Manjari is still waiting so that she can get the remnants of Shri Krishna. So now when Tulsi Manjari gets the remnants of Shri Krishna, she immediately runs through with all her friends. She runs back to Yavat. And it's been 2.5 hours. Radhika is still waiting. So much so that Raghunath Das Goswami says that whole day Radharani had not eaten anything. Because Radharani doesn't eat anything till the time it is not offered to Krishna. That is the level of devotion that Radharani has. She eats only Krishna Prasad. She eats only that thing that has touched the lips of Shri Krishna. So all day she was waiting. And finally, when Tulsi Manjari came with the remnants, Radharani looked at the eyes. She looked eye to eye in Tulsi Manjari. And she asked Tulsi Manjari, did Krishna like it? Did he eat all the sweets? Or was there any particular sweet that he liked? And at that time, Tulsi Manjari says, Radharani, O Radhike, Krishna loved all the sweets. Everything that you prepared, Krishna loved very much. And when Radharani heard this, Radharani felt very blissful that she could serve Krishna by making this beautiful preparation of sweets. And there, Tulsi Manjari sat down, Lalita Sakhi sat down, Vishaka Sakhi sat down, and Radharani also sat down. And Radharani gave the duty, the responsibility to Tulsi Manjari to divide the remnants of Krishna amongst all the assembled devotees, all the assembled Paramahamsas who were present. And when Radharani had, when she had a morsel, just one morsel that had touched the lips of Shri Krishna, Radharani fell to the ground. There were tears flowing from her eyes, five streams of tears flowing from her eyes, hair standing on end, teeth chattering, skin going pale, throat being parched. All the Ashta Sattvic Vikar, complete ecstatic transformation was seen in the body of Srimati Radharani just by having one morsel that had touched the lips of Shri Krishna. And dear devotees, we find in this section, the same point is brought about. In Krishna Leela, Krishna gave his remnants to Radharani via Tulsi Manjari. And here in this section, Jagannath, who is not different from Krishna, is giving his remnants to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is not different from Radharani, through the Pujari. We find it is the same parallels between Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela. There is no difference. That same Krishna who gave his remnants to Radhika has now appeared as Jagannath. And that same Radharani who had those remnants has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Jagannath Dev is giving the nectar of his lips to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is having that prasad that has touched the lips of Jagannath Dev, we find in text 93, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair is standing on end. His tears are flowing from his eyes. Throat is being parched. Skin is going pale. Exactly the same transformation that Radharani had when she accepted the preparation, when she accepted the remnants that had touched the lotus lips of Shri Krishna. So we find a very interesting point here, dear devotees, that Krishna Leela and Gaura Leela are not different. Like Gaur Govinda Maharaj would say, Krishna Leela is Gaura Leela, Gaura Leela is Krishna Leela. There is no difference. The only difference between Gaura Leela and Krishna Leela is Krishna Leela and Gaura Leela are separated by time and space. Krishna Leela took place 5,000 years ago, while Gauranga Mahaprabhu's pastimes took place 500 years ago. Likewise, Krishna's pastimes took place in Brajadham, and likewise Mahaprabhu's pastimes took place in Nadia, and his final pastimes took place in Jagannath Puri. So that is the only difference. But apart from that, it's the same mood that is carried. The same mood of Radharani, the same mood of Krishna is carried in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where Krishna Leela ends, that is where Gaura Leela begins. That is why we find Kaviraj Goswami in the Madhya Leela, chapter 25. He says, Chaitanya Leela Amritapur, Krishna Leela Sukarpur, Dui Mili Hoye Sumadhurya, Dui Mili Hoye Sumadhurya. What is Kaviraj Goswami saying? He's saying, Chaitanya Leela Amritapur, Krishna Leela Sukarpur. The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are like condensed milk. And the pastimes of Krishna Leela are Sukarpur, they are like camphor. Now what happens when milk and camphor come together? Dui mili hoye sumadhurya, Oh, when these two substances in the form of milk and camphor, when they come together, a very sweet, refreshing beverage, a very sweet, refreshing drink is formed. Sadhu Guru Prasade, Jara Yei Aswade, Sei Jane Madhurya Prachurya. Sei jane madhurya prachur. Kaviraj Goswami says, Sadhu Guru Prasade Yara Jai Aswade. Only by the mercy of Sadhu Guru, like we mentioned in the start, only by the mercy of a pure Vaishnav, Yara Yai Aswade, only such a person can understand the deep esoteric meanings behind the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Sei jane madhurya prachur. When one becomes a kripa patra, a recipient of mercy of a pure Vaishnava, then he can understand the sweetness of Radharani tasting the remnants of Sri Krishna that Tulasi Manjari has brought. Or one can understand the sweetness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radhika is tasting, the remnants of Krishna who has now appeared as Jagannath through the Pujari who was serving Jagannath Dev. So in this way we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is right now in Jagannath Puri and is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And one interesting point that we find is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, there were only a handful of associates who were there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Swarup Damodar, in the form of Rai Ramananda, and in the form of Govinda, who was personally serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here we find in verse 92, the mention of Govinda is there. So only few associates were there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even tells Nityananda Prabhu, he says, Prati varshe nila chale tumi na asibo. He tells Nitai, Prati varshe nila chale tumi na asibo. Oh Nitai, every year you don't come to Nilachal. Don't come to Jagannath Puri every year. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood was you stay outside, stay in Gauda Desh, stay in Mayapur Dham and preach about love of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Puri tasting Radha Bhav, but he wanted Nitai and other associates to stay outside and preach the message of love of Godhead. And dear devotees, we find in one of the last lectures, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj makes the same point. He carried the same mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is referring to or mentioning here to Nityananda Prabhu. We find when Bhakti Charu Maharaj was at ISKCON Ujjain, one of the last classes that he gave before he flew to America, when this question was asked from the audience that Maharaj, why are you going to America when there is COVID-19 going on? And Maharaj very emphatically, in the mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he said that Prabhupada never wanted us to just live in the dham and not preach. Prabhupada wanted us to be outside and preach. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the instruction to Nityananda Prabhu that Gauda Desh Rahibo, Mora Ichha Safala Karibo. That live in Gauda Desh and fulfill my heart's desire of preaching the message of love of Godhead. Similarly, Bhakti Charu Maharaj carried the same mood of being like a commander leading from the front and traveling to the United States in order to fulfill the message of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and to fulfill the message of Srila Prabhupada. So we find that the disciples of Prabhupada are carrying this mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has illustrated in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That higher than just staying in Dham and not preaching is to live outside and preach as much as possible. So it is for this reason, dear devotees, we find when Mahaprabhu is in Jagannath Puri, only a few associates are there, while the rest of the associates are outside preaching the message of love of Godhead. When Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj was in Ohio State University. When he was preaching at Ohio State University, this is in the 1970s. So Maharaj would conduct classes there. And at the end of the class, there would also be prasadam distribution. So Maharaj himself would personally cook and he would also deliver classes. So at that time, one gentleman who was a Catholic, who was a Christian, he came to that assembly and he sat behind and he was hearing to what Radhanath Maharaj was saying. And when he came, he brought a big Bible along with him, just so that to make sure that whatever he is hearing is not affected by that. So he brought a big Bible and he was sitting holding on to that Bible. So his one ear was, he was hearing to what Radhanath Maharaj was saying. And at the same time, with his hand, he was holding on to the Bible. And Maharaj gave a very beautiful class. And at the end, when there was prasadam distribution, at that time, this person, he was walking out of that assembly. So Radhanand Maharaj, from a distance, he saw. And he came and he told that person that now is the main time. Class was done, but now is the main anga of bhakti, to have prasadam. This is such an anga that during class, probably everyone sleeps. But during prasad, seldom do we find anyone sleep. So Maharaj said that now is the time for prasadam. So no, please come and have prasad. So he said, no, I fear that probably ISKCON would have added something. Like, you know, many times we hear this, that probably ISKCON adds something because of which people have, and then they become Hare Krishna devotees. So he told Radhanand Maharaj, no, I fear that probably you would have added something. So Maharaj said, nothing. I have prepared myself. You trust me, there is nothing. And after repeated discussion, after this went back and forth for some time, he finally agreed. And he came and he sat down. And that day Maharaj had made halwa. And now we know ISKCON halwa is very famous, especially in India. In all the Indian temples, halwa is something that people can literally wait in line for hours and hours together. So that day Maharaj had made halwa. And Maharaj gave it in one cup. So this gentleman, he had one cup of halwa. And he said, is there more? And Maharaj gave a second cup. And then he had the second cup. And in this way, he ended up having six cups of halwa. And at the end, he said, when is the next program? Not because he wanted to attend the class, but he was so enamored by the taste. He loved the taste of prasadam so much that he asked Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, when is the next program? So Maharaj understood that the prasadam is now taking effect. And dear devotees, we would be happy to know that just by having the prasad that had the nectar of Krishna's lips and that was personally prepared by Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, that person instead, he ended up becoming a devotee and a disciple of Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So this is the power of prasadam. This is the power when Krishna puts his nectar. When the nectar of Krishna's lips enters food, it no longer becomes food, but it becomes prasadam. And however atheistic the person is, by having prasadam regularly, the heart can be completely transformed. So we find in this section that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is tasting the nectar of Krishna's lips. And we find the same point in the Venugit section, Canto 10, Chapter 21. In the section of the Venugit, the Braja Gopis, they are transcendentally jealous of Krishna's flute. They are transcendentally jealous of Krishna's Venu. Why? Because the Braja Gopis are thinking to themselves that what has this flute done? All the time he's embracing Krishna, which means when Krishna tucks the flute to his waist, it's almost like Krishna is embracing the flute. So the Gopis are saying all the time he's embracing Krishna. And when Krishna is playing the flute, Krishna is pouring the nectar of his lips inside the holes of the flute. So the nectar of Krishna's lips, that is, which is actually our property, this flute has taken it. The Braja Gopis are saying that the nectar of Krishna's lips, that is our property, but now this flute has taken and we cannot do anything about it. So the Braja Gopis are like transcendentally jealous that the flute is taking their share of the nectar of, that is emanating from Krishna's lotus lips. But At this point, my worshipable spiritual master, Param Pujya Bachala Radha Govinda Goswami Maharaj, when he was speaking on this, he made a very wonderful point. Srila Guru Maharaj, he said that what can we learn from the flute? Why is it that Krishna is giving so much nectar of his lips to the flute? And Srila Guru Maharaj said, the flute is Dharashrit, which means Dhara means Mother Earth, and Ashrit means to take shelter. So the flute is Dharashrit, which means it is taken shelter of Mother Earth, which means it is coming from Mother Earth. But now the flute has become a Dharashrit, which means it is off the ground. Why? Because Krishna is holding the flute in his hand. So it is now a Dharashrit. And Srila Guru Maharaj continued by saying, the flute is Dharashrit, but now it has become a Dharashrit because it has taken shelter of Krishna's Adhar Ashrit. Adhara also means lips, and Ashrit means taking shelter. So it's a play of words. That flute, which is coming from Mother Earth, is now elevated because Krishna is holding on to his hands. He's pouring the nectar of his lips. So our acharyas say that now the flute is elevated, even though it is coming from Mother Earth, because it has taken shelter of Krishna's Adhara, which means it has taken shelter of Krishna's lips. Similarly, what can we learn from this? We are also Dharashrit. We are also coming from Dhara, that is Mother Earth. But now if we want to become a Dharashrit, if we want to become elevated, which means if we want to go back home, back to Godhead, we have to also take Adhar Ashrit. We have to take shelter of Krishna's lips. And taking shelter of Krishna's lips means taking shelter of the instructions that are emanating from Krishna's lips, which is nothing but the Bhagavad Gita. So if we also want to experience the nectar of Krishna's lips, then the flute, the Venu, is teaching us that just like he is Dharashrit, he has now become elevated by becoming a Dharashrit because he has taken shelter of Krishna's lips. Similarly, we are a Dharashrit. If we want to become a Dharashrit, which means if we want to become elevated, we have to take shelter of Krishna's lips. The nectar that is emanating from Krishna's lips, that is the Bhagavad Gita. So we find the Bhagavad Gita is such a sacred text that will help us taste the nectar that is emanating from Krishna's lips. That same nectar which here Gauranga Mahaprabhu is tasting in the form of prasad can also be experienced by regularly studying the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita. And not just the Bhagavad Gita, but also scriptures like the Bhagavatam and the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And finally, dear devotees, to wrap up, we spoke about Shripad Raghunath Das Goswami, how he describes the beautiful pastime of Radharani preparing and giving it to Krishna via Tulasi Manjari and Radharani having those remnants. Now let us switch to our Sambandha Acharya, that is Shripad Sanatan Goswami. Shripad Sanatan Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he says that we find the whole of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is centered around the life journey of a personality by the name Gopakumar. And when Gopakumar went back home, back to Godhead, when he was sitting with all his friends, he was sitting with Krishna, he was sitting with Balaram, he was sitting with Madhu Mangal, and he was sitting with so many other friends. After such a long time, Gopakumar had come back in the dear association of Sri Krishna. So at that time, when the friends were all sitting together, Radharani had prepared some sweets. Radharani had made some puris and some sabji for Krishna. And she had sent it to Krishna. And from a distance, Radharani was seeing whether Krishna is going to accept, whether Krishna is going to taste what she has prepared. But at that time, Krishna, he just took one morsel and he gave the rest to Gopakumar. And at that time, Radharani was thinking to herself, why did Krishna do that? I have prepared all this for Krishna, but seems like he just took one morsel and has given the rest to Gopakumar. But Radharani was you know, because Radharani is the dearmost servant and the expansion of the Supreme Lord, dearmost devotee of Sri Krishna, she understood this fact that Krishna wanted Gopukumar to taste the nectar of his lips. Krishna, he just had one morsel and gave the rest to Gopukumar. Why? Because Krishna wanted Gopukumar to experience two things. First, he wanted Gopakumar to experience the preparation that Radharani had made, the transcendental nectar that Radharani had prepared. And second, Krishna wanted Gopakumar to experience as to what it feels to taste the nectar that is emanating from Krishna's lips. Because this is the first time Gopakumar had come back after a very long time. So there it is described, Sripad Sanatana Goswami describes, when Gopakumar had the nectar of Krishna's lips, Gopakumar fell to the ground and there were tears from his eyes. There were hairs standing on end, teeth chattering, throat going parched, skin going pale. Exactly the same symptoms that we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing here by tasting the nectar of Krishna's lips. Similarly, Gopakumar, when he tastes the nectar of Krishna's lips, he falls to the ground, unconscious, unable to fathom as to what is this transcendental nectar that is prepared by the loving hands of Srimati Radharani and has been blessed by the lips of Sri Krishna. So we find in many readings, whether it is the Brihad Bhagavatamrita or the works of Raghunath Das Goswami, prasadam has been given a lot of emphasis. Just like in the society of animals, the Supreme Lord appears as Varahadev. In the society of aquatics, he appears as Matsyadev. In the society of human beings, the Lord appears as Ramachandra. In the society of transcendental land, he appears as Vrindavan. In the society of mountains, he appears as Giriraj Govardhan. In the society of transcendental sound vibration, he appears as the holy name. And in the society of food, in the society of Anna, he appears as Prasadam. So this Prasadam that we have every day, that we are blessed with, the fortune that we have of having Prasadam every single day, we should have full conviction and full faith that this Prasadam is the manifestation of Krishna. Krishna is personally coming in the form of Anna so that he can purify all of us. Having said this, I stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Prasadam ki jai, Tai Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bol, Samasta Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Hari Bol, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this very sweet, sweet class. And I got so many points from today's class, Prabhuji, starting from how Srila Prabhupada and his direct disciples have toiled very much to print the Chaitanya Charitamrita within 2 months of time. It's not an easy task. It's like 17 books. It's really tremendous work. We can understand that. And like Raghunath Goswami, then our Sanatana Goswami stories. And especially I like the Srila Prabhupada's way of indicating the prasadam. How he, it's very, very nice. The gesture, how he is indicating. And reminding also Prabhuji, then lastly, the Venu Geet, how the transcendental jealousy gopis of Vrindavan are feeling. That is also very nice, and we have to follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, which is directly from the lotus lips of Sri Krishna Bhagavan. Very nice, Prabhuji. And finally, I have one question, Prabhuji. So we take prasadam in temples. It's very, very, no words to express the taste of the prasadam. So how can we get the same prasadam? We follow the same things while cooking also. We do the mantras. After that also we offer with mantras, but sometimes we are not getting that delicious nectar in our homemade prasadam. Are there any secret tips or tricks?
Hare Krishna Mataji, my humble obeisances. Mm-hmm. As far as tricks are concerned, to be honest, I don't know even the sea of cooking. I don't know anything about cooking, but I can I can definitely agree to the fact that when the preparations are made in the temple, they are very special and they are very tasty, especially in our ISKCON temples. And likewise, the same thing can also be had in our home. Probably the only thing we can add to it is genuine heartfelt prayers. Because we find that Raghunandan Thakur, who is the son of Mukunda, when Mukunda had gone outside, Raghunandan, his son, 5-year-old son, was given this task of offering to the Supreme Lord. And he didn't know any mantras, like we chant mantras, but Raghunandan was 5 years old. He didn't know any mantras. He just prayed that Gopinath, please have, Gopinath, have, Gopinath, please have. And then the Supreme Lord was forced to come down the altar. In fact, Gopinath said that, Raghunandan, this is not the way you do offering. There are some protocols that you have to follow. Raghunandan said, my dear Lord, I don't know all these things. My father had told me to offer. I'm offering you. I want you to come down and eat. And Krishna says, Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti. Krishna can eat from his eyes. Krishna can eat with his ears. He can eat with any of his senses. Raghunandan says, my dear Lord, I don't understand all those logic. I sit down and eat with my hand and I put it inside my mouth. I want you also to come and sit down and put it inside your mouth, just like the way we have. And then Gopinath came down and he ate the preparation that was offered by Raghunandan. Not once, but twice. It happened 2 times. So the lesson that we can learn, in fact, Srila Radhanath Maharaj, when he explains this pastime, he says, the lesson probably we can learn from this is the Lord is hungry for love. The Lord is not hungry for the prasadam that we are offering, but he is hungry for the love behind that prasadam that we are offering. Like whatever anga of devotion we do, Krishna is not behind the numbers. Like Sripad Ayendra Prabhu would make this point, there may be someone who is chanting 16 rounds. And on the flip side, there may be someone who is chanting 64 rounds. But if the person chanting 64 is proud of the fact that he's chanting 64, or if he doesn't have love and affection while chanting, while on the contrary, someone who's chanting 16 but is crying for the Lord may shower his mercy upon the person who's chanting 16 and may shower his mercy upon the person who's chanting 64 later, because the Lord is Swarat, he's completely independent. So the point is love. The Lord is looking for affection. He's looking for genuine love and affection that Raghunandan had, that Prahlad Maharaj had. How is it that Prahlad and Raghunandan and Dhruva, they were all so small, 5 and 6 years of age. How is it that they could invoke the Supreme Lord down in order to fulfill their heart's desire? It is love and affection. It is only Bhakti Tutoshna Bhagavan Gajayuta Paya Shila Rupa Goswami in Padyavali says, it is only and only bhakti that conquers the Supreme Lord's heart. So we can chant more prayers and spend more time in front of the Lord, begging and beseeching the Lord that, my dear Lord, please accept it. In the temple, you're accepting it and it is very tasty. And I'm pretty sure you're accepting here also. But for my satisfaction, my dear Lord, we can chant more prayers and besiege the Lord that, my dear Lord, if you accept this, just like the way you accept in the local ISKCON temples, then the taste can increase multiple times. So if you can chant genuine prayers and beg and please the Lord that way, then the taste can definitely be on par that we have with ISKCON temples.
Very, very nice answer, Prabhu. Very much moved, Prabhu, by your answer. Only the pure bhakti, with that only we can offer. That is the main ingredient in cooking. Very nice, Prabhu. My humble obeisances to you. Thank you so much, Prabhu Krishna. So, dear devotees, so can we have the raised hands? We can go with that. Devotees, if anybody have any questions, please raise your hands. Then we can go with the raised hands. Okay. Hare Krishna Kamodike Mataji. Please ask your question, Mataji. One minute, Mataji. Let me unmute you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very nice wish that you have offered. You know, it's very pleasing to the ears and heart. Thank you very much. The nice feast, nice nectarian feast. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Kamodiki Mataji. Dear devotees, anybody are having any questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. I'll go ahead.
Yes, Mataji, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanvat Pranam, our glorious Srila Prabhupada. Excellent class. As you know, I've already told that it's definitely feast for years. So thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for taking us to Krishna Leela, comparing it to Gaur Leela, and so many wonderful points. So, Prabhu, just one clarification. So you were talking about when Krishna's pastime, you were comparing that how Krishna passed on his remnants through Dhanishta Gopi. And if I'm not wrong, Dhanishta Gopi is Raghav Pandit, right?
Yes.
Okay. And here, Jagannath, through Jagannath, like through Govinda, right? And Govinda is passing on. So do you know who is Govinda in Krishna Leela?
I'll have to look, Mataji. I don't have it off my head.
Mm-hmm.
But the parallels that I was trying to draw is just like Krishna had his remnants and gave it to Radharani. Similarly, Jagannath, who is not different from Krishna, is giving the nectar of his lips in the form of remnants to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is not different from Radharani.
Yes. Thank you.
But I can definitely look and I can let you know who's Govinda in Krishna Leela.
Sure, Prabhu. And another thing is, Prabhu, when you are referring to that, Raghunath Das Goswami is also called as Tulasi Manjari. So when we have like a Tulasi plant at home, right? So like what I mean to say is that Tulasi leaves have a different identity and Tulasi Manjaris have a different identity, or it's the same Tulasi plant?
No, Mataji, they are different. So Tulasi Devi is Vrinda Devi, who is, so Vrinda Devi is Krishna Jeevani. She is in the side of Krishna. Like we have two camps, the camp of Krishna and the camp of Radhika. So Vrinda Devi, whom we worship in the form of Tulasi, she is in the side of, she in the side of Krishna. For her, Krishna is the life and soul. She offers her respects to Radhika, but for her, Krishna is the life and soul. And we see the same point even in the Tulsi Aarti that we sing. Ei nivedana dharo sakhi anugata koro seva adhikara diye koro nija dasi dina krishna dase ko ei jina mora hoy shri radha govinda preme sadaina bhasi. Bhasi means to swim, to float. So she is floating in the love waters of Radha and Govinda. So the Vrinda Devi whom we worship, she is Krishna Jeevani. That is one of her eight names, Krishna Jeevani. She is in the side of Krishna. But the Tulasi Manjari that we address, Raghunath Das Goswami, he is exclusively in the side of Radhika. Manjaris are one-pointed, sold-out maid servants at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So the Tulasi leaf is Vrinda Devi, whom we worship in Kamyavan in Vrindavan. And Tulasi Manjari or Rati Manjari, who is Raghunath Das Goswami, is a different Manjari whom we worship as the maid servant of Srimati Radharani.
Thank you, Prabhu. Now this gives rise to another question that when we offer Tulasi to Tulasi Devi at the lotus feet of Krishna, especially in the temple, or to Giriraj or to Shaligram Shila, so should we offer leaves or should we offer Manjaris?
We offer Tulasi because when we say Tulasi plant and Manjari, generally in Prabhupada's readings, as far as I have come across, Prabhupada refers to both of them. When he says we can offer Tulasi, we can also offer Manjari. And when he says we can offer Manjari, we can also offer Tulasi. But when it comes to Shaligram, it depends what the mood of worship is. Now, if you're worshipping Giriraj, like Guru Govinda Maharaj would say, that if you're worshipping Giriraj in the mood of Krishna, then we offer Tulasi. But like for example, Guru Govinda Maharaj would make this point as far as the peacock feather is concerned. He would say that when we worship Gauranga Mahaprabhu, if we are worshipping Gauranga Mahaprabhu in the mood of Krishna, then we offer him a peacock feather. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always in the mood of Radharani. So if you offer him a peacock feather, that means you're reminding him that he is not Radharani, but he is Krishna. And that breaks the mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Guru Govinda Maharaj would always say that when it comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is best to not offer peacock feathers so that we don't break the mood of Gauranga. Likewise, when it comes to Tulasi and when it comes to Manjari, when it comes to Vishnu Tattvas, we can offer both Tulasi and Manjaris only to Vishnu Tattvas, like Jagannath, Baladev, or Gopal Dev, or Radha Krishna. To Vishnu Tattvas, Tulasi or Manjari can be offered. There is no problem. So in the readings, we find both are addressed pretty much the same.
Yes, Prabhu. So we can offer both, right?
Yes.
But also, like when we were reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we were reading the section where Mahaprabhu gave Raghunath Das Goswami his own Shaligram Shila. At that time, if I'm not wrong, then Chaitanya Charitamrita Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami specifically mentions that, you know, Mahaprabhu told him that you worship with Tulasi, and at that time, Manjaris have to be offered with two leaves. You know, Manjari, which has minimum two leaves on it. So we can offer that. So,
right. So when it comes to Raghunath Das Goswami, Tulasi leaves are offered. If we worship Giriraj in the mood of a devotee, then we ideally don't offer Tulasi leaves. But if we worship him in the mood of Krishna, which Das Goswami was very much worshipping, then we offer Tulasi leaves. And as far as the number is concerned, I have not personally heard a specific reason to it as to why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said two manjaris. But the fundamental idea that I understand is Tulasi and manjaris, when it comes to offering, are considered one and the same. When it comes to Vishnu Tattvas, we can offer both of them.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you for your wonderful class and wonderful answer. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Now we will move to next devotee. So I see Lalita and Dinabandhu, Mataji and Prabhuji are unmuted them. So Mataji, would you like to go with your question? Hare Krishna, Mataji. Lalita Mataji, I see you are unmuted. Okay. Prabhuji, I see there are no more questions, Prabhuji. So with your permission and devotee's permission, I think...
Mataji, there is one question in chat box.
Oh, let me see, Mataji, sorry. Yes, Prabhuji. So this question is from Lavanya Krishna Mataji. So Hare Krishna, Pranam Prabhuji, if we give prasad to meat eaters, is it considered as an offense? My intention is to bring my family into KC through prasad. Because of prasad, I came into Krishna conscious.
Hare Krishna. It is definitely not an offense because the purpose of prasad is to purify. We find that everyone is in a different stage of purification. Someone may be in the stage of meat eaters, while someone like all of us who are in this path of Krishna consciousness, but still are in the purificatory process. So the prasadam works for everyone in a different way. And the final end result is purification. So the Lord is personally coming down in the form of Anna so that purification can take place. So just like we have the holy name. Now, even if someone is a meat eater, or like we find the example of Jagai and Madhai. Jagai and Madhai were into all sorts of abominable activities. They would set houses on fire. They would steal. They would plunder so much so that Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that people would even fear to come in that lane where Jagai and Madhai were present. But Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they did not hold back to give the holy name to Jagai and Madhai. They did not think that, oh, he's so abominable, I should not be giving him the holy name. they still gave him the holy name, and in due course Harinam Prabhu purified Jagai and Madhai so much so that from that day on Jagai and Madhai were called as Jagadananda and Madhavananda. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says they became the best among Brahmanas. And anyone who doubts that whether they were the best among Brahmanas or not, they will be doomed. So the power of Harinam Prabhu, which is not different from Krishna, is that it can transform even Jagai and Madhai, who were so abominable. So likewise, even if you are in connection with those who are eating meat, we can definitely give Krishna Prasad. In fact, we should give Krishna Prasad, because this Krishna Prasad, whether they know or not, it adds on to Bhakti Unmukhi Sukruti. It adds on to transcendental bank. It adds on to their transcendental Sukruti, transcendental bank account. And in due course, that will help in purification. So whether they know or not, they are getting purified. Just like Prabhupada would give this example that if there is fire, there's candle, and there's the flame of fire. The child may know or may not know, but if he sticks his hand inside the flame of fire, it's going to get burned. Similarly, prasadam, whether they accept it with faith or without faith, it is going to result in purification. So we should have that faith, and with that faith, we should give them. And in due course, even if they're meat eaters, in due course, they will get transformed. If not this lifetime, in some lifetime. But it will cause a transformation in the heart. After all, Krishna consciousness is meant for transformation of the heart. Whether it is chanting of the holy name, whether it is deity worship, or whether it is prasad sevan, it is meant to change, bring about a revolution in our consciousness. So definitely, we should, as much as possible, we should give it to our friends, our relatives, to our colleagues, to whomever possible, this nectar that Krishna has poured on the remnants, so that people all over the world can get purified.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this fantastic answer. So I have some personal questions, Prabhuji, from my side. Prabhu, I offer milk to Lord Krishna, and we make that, we use in our daily cooking and whatever. So I have a question, Prabhu. So my Prabhu doesn't like the taste of our rubies, like without caffeine tea. So he drinks normal tea. So can I use that, the prasadam milk, for making the regular tea?
So if I understand the question right, can we use the milk that is already offered to Krishna to make tea?
Right. Yeah. With what we get outside the groceries. So can we use that milk for preparing the tea?
Ideally, no. Mm-hmm. Because as Prabhupada would say, that consuming tea is a form of intoxication. Caffeine is a form of intoxication. So by facilitating if someone is having tea and we are giving them milk, it becomes a form of facilitating intoxication. So the first thing that we can do is, if possible, we can help them give up this habit of having tea. But mm-hmm. if that is not possible, then the second option would be to give milk that is offered to Krishna. Because something is better than nothing. Even if he's having tea, if milk that Krishna has had and the nectar that Krishna has poured onto the milk, if that can be consumed in some way or the other, if that can enter the body, that can cause a purification. So the first and foremost, if we can help relieve the person, give up tea, that is first class, because we do not want to promote intoxication. Just like Prabhupada would say that the person who is eating meat is sinful, but similarly, the person who is buying the meat, who is cutting the meat, who is facilitating the meat, everyone gets a share, 1/6 of the portion of that sin. So likewise, when it comes to tea and coffee, it is also considered a form of intoxication. So if possible, we can help relieve the person of this habit of intoxication. If not, then we can at least mix milk, as you said, Mataji, we can mix milk and give it. So at least prasadam is going inside, and in due course, that will help bring about purification.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Helps me a lot. And another question, Prabhu. So we are offering daily prasadam to Krishna and the deities at our home. So how can we know that the prasadam, whatever we are offering, the deities are really accepting it? How can we know that?
Well, we can know it for the fact that Srila Prabhupada would always say that if you chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles and try to preach this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world, then deities will definitely be reciprocative. Like in our conditioned state, we cannot see whether Krishna is having or not. These eyes have not developed. These eyes are still not anointed with love like the way Prahlad Maharaj had or like the way Raghunandan had. So for that reason, we have Sri Guru and we have Acharya in the form of Srila Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada says that you chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles and make sure that you don't fall down from this path, make sure that you spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu far and wide, and make sure that not just preach, like His Holiness Mahanidhi Maharaj would say, preaching is the belching of our bhajan. Like depending on what bhajan we do, that's what we can preach. So if someone is preaching, it is only because he is doing bhajan. So when we say we have to preach outside, it's also of paramount importance that we also do our personal bhajan, studying verses, studying scriptures, and helping others also go deep on this path of Krishna Bhakti. And Krishna, he makes this point in the Bhagavad Gita that anyone who preaches this message of the Bhagavad Gita or anyone who preaches the instructions of the Supreme Lord, they are the dearest. Krishna loves them very dearly. And if we spread this message of Krishna, if we spread the message of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, then we become the recipients, Kripa Patra, of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Sri Krishna. And naturally, if the Lord starts liking us, if the Lord places his loving glance upon us because we are preaching his instructions, then naturally he will also accept our prasadam. So at this stage, all we can do is we can have complete faith in what Srila Prabhupada says, that is following the four regulative principles, chanting our minimum 16 rounds in Brahma Murta if possible, and reading the scriptures and helping spread this message of Gauranga Mahaprabhu as much as possible. If we fulfill the instructions of the Supreme Lord, if we follow that instructions, if we follow our Gurujan, then naturally the Lord will be bound in our heart. And what to speak of bound in our heart, he will also accept our offerings. So at this point, as Rupa Goswami says, we start with Shraddha. Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahe Sudrida Nishchay. We have Sudrida Nishchay. We have firm faith that when Prabhupada is saying that Krishna will have, then Krishna will definitely have. We have one-pointed faith. Ananya Chintayanto Mam. We have Ananya Bhakti unto the lotus feet of our Gurujan and Prabhupada. That if they are saying that this is the right way, it means this is the right way. They have seen the truth. We have probably not seen the truth, at least speaking for myself. So that is why we follow spiritual superiors who have seen the truth and whom we can completely trust. And these spiritual superiors in the form of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Saraswati Thakur, etc., and our Gurujan, they have chalked out this plan that if we follow the teachings of Gauranga in the form of chanting our rounds in Brahma Murta and following the four regulative principles, reading scriptures, Shastra Adhyayan, associating with sadhus, serving Vaishnavas, and also preaching this message outside, then the Lord definitely will place his loving glance. And when he places his loving glance, he will naturally accept the prasadam also. So it starts with faith. The seed of Krishna accepting prasad, it starts with faith. Shraddha.
Very, very nice, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. So I see some questions in chat box, Prabhu. Let me read that. So is eating chocolate prohibited from Jai Kumari Mataji?
Yeah, eating chocolate is definitely prohibited for multiple reasons. And one of the reasons is Not to scare anyone, but for those who are having chocolate, the FDA, in the US, we have the FDA who give the, who chalk out the ingredients, or you could say they say whether it is edible or not. So if you see, we can actually check it in Google and YouTube. When these chocolates are made, chocolates are naturally sweet in nature. And because it's a chocolate factory, we find even in our homes, if little sugar falls to the ground, naturally there are ants that come. There are cockroaches, or the sweet is such that it attracts the ants and cockroaches and other creatures. So what to speak of chocolate, and what to speak of a chocolate factory? So if we see, this has nothing to do with spirituality. This is science. If we see in Google and YouTube, these factories where chocolates are made, overnight, these chocolate factories are kept as it is. They work throughout the day from 8 to 6, and at night, it's kept as it is. And when the chocolate is kept as it is, there it attracts ants, it attracts cockroaches, and it attracts various other creatures. It attracts various other creatures that walk on the land. And naturally, when they go through the machine, the cockroaches get crushed, the ants get crushed. So the chocolate that we end up having has contents of cockroaches. It has contents of ants. It has contents of all these things. This is plain science. This has nothing to do with bhakti. This is plain science. So when we eat chocolate, we are not just eating chocolate, but we end up eating cockroaches that were killed. We are ending up eating ants that were killed. And because just like it is abominable to eat meat, similarly, chocolate comes in the same category, because in the content, even if we are not able to see it, in the content, while preparing the chocolate, there are ants and cockroaches that naturally get killed. So that itself should help us refrain from eating chocolates, because we do not want to be an instrument so that because of us, animals or creatures get killed.
Thank you, Prabhu. So I see another question from Namamrita Mataji. So Hare Krishna, my question is, how do we do Vaishnava Seva to the best of our ability?
Hare Krishna. Now it depends where we are. If we are there close to a local ISKCON temple, then we can serve the temple. Like for example, here in ISKCON Seattle, we have different shifts and different schedules where every day, every hour, there is a different Prabhuji, there's a different Mataji who come and serve that local ISKCON temple in different ways, whether it is cutting vegetables, whether it is steaming the cauliflowers, whether it is cutting the fruits, whether it is mopping, whether it is deity worship, whether it is Nam Sankirtan, whether it is book distribution. So every devotee comes together to do different services. And when you serve the local ISKCON temple, that is Vaishnava Seva, because temple comprises of Vaishnavas. It comprises of devotees. So if we are close to an ISKCON temple, we can serve that way. Or even if you're somewhere near, not very far from the local ISKCON temple, we can serve the devotees in whatever ability, whether it is Lakshmi or whether it is physical service, to the best of our ability, whatever we can. But apart from this also, we should always try to endeavor to serve a superior. Like Srila Rupa Goswami says, Sadhu Sangha Swatovare. Swatovare means those who are exalted, and Sadhu Sangha means associating with sadhus. So Rupa Goswami says that the best form of Sadhu Sangha is associating with those who are superior to us, those who are Braj Rasik, those who have Vrindavan in their heart. So if we can serve that league of devotees in the form of Gurujan, or even if Siksha Guru, who is on the same level as our Sri Guru, who is carrying Vrindavan in his heart, if we can serve that league of Vaishnavas, then that is the best form of Sadhu Sangha. And that can be in any form. It can be physical service, or it can be in the form of financial service. It can be in any form. And Srila Prabhupada would always make this point that the best form of service, whether to Sri Guru or to the Vaishnava community, is serving the instructions, is serving Vani. Because Vapu, the physical body, may be there today, may not be there tomorrow. But Vani is something through which the spiritual master and the Siksha Guru, they live forever. So if we can serve the instructions of Sri Guru, if we can serve the instructions of Siksha Guru, that's the highest form of Vaishnava Seva. That's the best form of Vaishnava Seva. Prabhu kahe Vaishnava Seva, Naam Sankirtan, Dui Karo Shikra Pave Shri Krishnaira Charan. Vaishnava Seva and Harinam Sankirtan, when they are done together, it fosters our attachment to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So if we are close to an ISKCON temple, we serve the local ISKCON temple. And if you are not close to an ISKCON temple, then we can, the devotees who are there around us, at least one or two families, we can come together and have Harinam Sankirtan, can discuss on the scriptures, and at the same time try to serve each other. If that is also not possible, if we are in an extremely remote place where there is absolutely no Krishna Bhakti, then we can serve our spiritual master virtually by serving his Vani. And likewise, if we have a Siksha Guru in our life, who is on the same level as Diksha Guru, who is having Vrindavan in his heart, then we can also serve the Vani. That is, we can also serve the instructions that he has given us. Serving Vani is the highest form of Vaishnava Seva, Srila Prabhupada would say.
Wonderful, Prabhu, wonderful. So, Prabhu, before going to next question, moving on to next question, Prabhu, do you have some time to take up the next question, Prabhu? Is it okay for you?
This can be the last question because it's already 9:30 here Pacific and it's a working day. So this can be the last question.
Sure, Prabhu, sure. So this is from Parima Mataji. So Mataji is asking, vegan chocolate is available. So 1 minute, can we eat that?
Well, to be honest, I have not heard of vegan chocolates, but as you say, they may be available. But the fundamental point is not just eating chocolates. The fundamental point is not just refraining from tea and coffee. The fundamental point is to show Krishna that, my dear Lord, for you, I am ready to not eat this. If my spiritual master and my superior say that I should not eat this, my dear Lord, to get your lotus feet, I am ready to give it up. Like Jagadananda Pandit says that Jivhara Lalasahai Iti Uti Dhai Shishna Udura Parayana Krishna Nahi Pai. Prabhupada quotes this in the purport of Nectar of Instruction. And he says, Jivhara Lalasahai, if for the satisfaction of the tongue, Iti Uti Dhai, if you're running hither and thither, if you're running from this mall to that mall, from this shop to that shop, this grocery, that grocery, just to satisfy the taste of our tongue. And Shishna Udura Parayana Krishna Nahipa. If someone cannot control the urge of one's tongue and is finding it difficult to control the urge of his genital, then Krishna Nahipa, he will never get Krishna. So the fundamental point of not eating chocolate is not just because cockroaches or ants are getting killed. It's also to show to the Supreme Lord that, my dear Lord, if this is what Prabhupada says is wrong, that means it is wrong. Because Srila Prabhupada is self-realized. Like Bhakti Vikas Maharaj once, my brother and I, we were at ISKCON Juhu. We were in Maharaj's room and Maharaj made a very beautiful point. He said that the scientists of this world can be wrong, but Srila Prabhupada can never be wrong. If Srila Prabhupada says that the sun rises in the south, that means sun rises in the south, because he has seen the truth. He is self-realized. He can never be wrong. So similarly, when that personality who's self-realized, who is always there with Krishna, who has never forgotten Krishna, if he is saying that chocolate doesn't help us on our path on Krishna Bhakti, if it is not anukul, if it is pratikul, if it doesn't foster our attachment to the lotus feet of Radharani and Krishna, if a self-realized personality is giving this instruction, then it is better that we follow. Even if we have vegan chocolates, it is always better to follow in the instructions of our superiors, because the point is not just killing animals. The point is refraining from the urge of the tongue and the genitals. Jivhara lala sahai iti uti dhai shishna udaraparayana krishna nahi pai. Jagadanda Pandit clearly says that if we run here and there to eat that is not offered to Krishna, then getting Krishna is a far-fetched reality. So we can accordingly see what suits for us.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this wonderful answer.
Likewise, sorry to interrupt, Mother, just another point. I'm not sure if this is there in India, but I have seen in the US and Canada, may not be in all brands, but some of the orange juices also that we'll find here in the United States have fish oil in it. Now, this may be something that it is beyond even our material thinking capacity. Like, how can an orange juice have fish oil? But some of the brands I've seen, and this has been shared, I think, multiple times, even in Facebook posts by different devotees, some of the brands here in the US and Canada, not all of them, but some of them have fish oil in it. So it's always a good habit that whenever we buy something from outside, even though it is for offering for Krishna, and it may be a natural product, there may be some instances like this, which have fish oil in an orange juice. So just as a disclaimer, as a caution, whatever we buy from the groceries, it's always a good habit to read the ingredients before offering them to the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, very helpful, Prabhuji, this information. So Prabhuji, with your permission and devotee's permission, I would like to pay my obeisance to Sri Prabhu. So thank you so much, Prabhu, for giving a very precious time this morning and giving elaborately a lecture on this topic, Prabhu, and very patiently answering all our questions, Prabhu. Very, very thankful to you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnav vrindiki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. His grace Arjun Sakha Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Koti koti dandavat pranam. Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev ki jai. Wonderful class, Prabhu. Very blessed child.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Dhanopanam.